Good evening. You're welcome again to listen to our fifth message entitled Blessings from the Boat, and we intend to carry them on, God willing, in the days that lie ahead. We're reading some scriptures tonight that are very well known, probably the best known parable in the New Testament, and that is the prodigal son. And we're reading from verse 11 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And he said, as the Lord Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a great famine in the land, a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. We'll end the reading there at verse 21, and we'll ask the blessing of the Lord upon his word. Father, we bow before thee again this evening. We thank you for your precious, infallible, indestructible, living word. And oh God, we pray tonight, Father, as we handle this truth, who is sufficient for these things? We are certainly not, but we ask, Lord, tonight that you will bless this word as it goes forth. And as a result, Lord, souls will turn to thee, backsliders will be restored, and thy people will be blessed. We ask these things in the Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. I want to speak to you for a short while today on what it means to be honestly and genuinely and truly converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. God willing, we will continue with this theme next week. The word conversion and the word repentance, which are sister words, have fallen onto very sad and stony ground in these past years in evangelical circles. It seems that these words have been swapped and replaced and exchanged with the word commitment, decision, and resolution, which are not biblical words and have absolutely nothing to do with genuine conversion, repentance, regeneration, or salvation. The fault does not lie with the people, with the hearer, or with the sinner, but primarily it lies with the pulpit. We're told by many now, put your hand up if you want to be saved, or squeeze my hand on the way out if you are saved, or lift your head, or nod your head, or shake your head, or even pray the wee sinner's prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come in today, come in to stay. No cross, no gospel, no blood, no repentance, no contrition, no conversion, no conviction, and certainly no salvation. And sadly, these people go out and go home from whence they came, not the same as they went, but worse. Because I have found over the years that it's incredibly difficult to reach these people again with the gospel. And I say to preachers and ministers and pastors and to my own heart, those of us sometimes who are overzealous, tract distributors and street evangelism, many, many are plucking baskets of unripe fruit, only to rot and to die, tearing the branch from the vine before the fruit is ready. We're living in a day of an epidemic of false professions across our land, and it's time for straight talking, and it's time that we need to face up to the fact of this. It seems that we have sown the wind and we're now reaping the whirlwind. The comment that I hear so often in these circles is, I tried it. I prayed a wee prayer and I put up my hand and I tried it, but it doesn't work. And that's exactly right. They tried it, but they never tried him. You see, the way of the cross and the way of the gospel and the word of God and the way of the Spirit has never been explained to these people at all. I remember some years ago here in this meeting house, after a gospel meeting, there was a man in and he was an alcoholic and he was under the influence of drink. He sat through the meeting and I spoke to him afterwards about his soul. He says, I'm going to heaven. I says, how is that? He says, well, I prayed a sinner's prayer when I was a child, and once saved, always saved, and I'm on my way to heaven. My friend, if that's salvation, I don't want it. And that is so, so sad. We must send out a stern word of warning, and we must send it out, and I want to send it out tonight and next week from this pulpit to parents and to grandparents and to children's teachers, to Sunday school teachers, to children's workers. Don't lead your child into a false profession. I remember being in a home some years ago where a very godly man and his wife had moved to a new house and they'd moved church, and they were saying how God had blessed them, and they had a teenage daughter and she was sitting in the house and God has so blessed us, and mentioned the girl's name and said she has got saved. But she was sitting behind the parents. I could see her and they couldn't see her, and she screwed her eyes up and shook her head. So I wonder what that was all about. You say to a child, would you like to go to heaven and not to hell? Surely they would. Would you like to be with daddy and mammy whenever they die? Sure they would. If I went over around Dungannon and round the Moy tonight and knocked the doors of the people and say, would you rather go to heaven than go to hell? They said, go to heaven. Let's pray this wee prayer. Is that all that the gospel's about? Is that all that the cross is about? Is that all that atonement about, justification about, redemption about? Is that why Christ hung on the cross naked for 6 hours? Is that the gospel? Is that all that it takes to have a mansion in the sky and to walk the streets of gold and to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb and to be all eternity with Christ? Is that all it takes? Pray a wee prayer. No change, no different. Just go on with your life. Forget it, my friend. Forget it. It's a far deeper work than that. I hear people saying, and have said to me often, who are you to say who's in heaven or who's not? Who are you to say who's saved or who's not? Yes, that's right. And then they say, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He sure does, but he knows them that are not his too. And I know a 4-year-old and 5-year-old and 6-year-old who came to Christ at that age and who were in great work for God down through the years. But I tell you, my friend, those of them I knew, the Holy Spirit was working in their lives, even as children. And I also know what the Word of God says. I know that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, twice the Lord says, except you repent, you perish. I know that the Lord Jesus says twice in John 3, in verses 3 and 5 again, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In Matthew 18, in verse 3, he says, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Peter in Acts 3 in verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Paul in 2 Corinthians 7 in verse 10 says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. Sorrow is not repentance, but it worketh repentance. Tears is not enough. John the Baptist in Luke's Gospel chapter 3 came forth preaching the baptism of repentance. Turn, flee, run from your sin. The apostles went forth preaching repentance and the remission of sins. For to be truly, genuinely, and honestly converted to Christ, the only way, my friend, that we can come is through repentance, and through repentance to have regeneration and salvation and faith in His Word is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to be working. The Holy Spirit has to be moving in the life. Jesus Christ Himself said, when He, the Holy Spirit, is come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. There has to be conviction. There has to be repentance. There has to be a knowledge of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I suppose this story of the prodigal son is the best illustration of true repentance and conversion in the Bible. I want to open it up just tonight and come back to it again next week, God willing. These are two series of truths to pass over lightly. This story of the prodigal son, my friend, is my favorite story, and you'll know why. You see, when my father sold a farm of land down in Fermanagh, and I left the shores of Lough Erne and went to live in the city of Manchester, where I spent 13 months. I came back in January 1968. I wasn't converted to Christ until 1970. And after I was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, I wrote a little booklet, and my wife wrote a little booklet. Mine was entitled The Modern Prodigal. That was the only way that I could describe my homecoming to Fermanagh after the months that I had spent over there. These books now are entitled When Real Life Began, but they're still in print. And there were many similarities to this young man's life and my life at 21 years of age. And I want to bring this home to you very powerfully, if I can, as I close this message this evening. The only difference, and there were a number of differences, but one of the differences, when he left his father's house and farm, he left with a substantial sum of money. He left with a living, it says, an inheritance. All I left with was not much more than my bus and my boat fare over to Manchester. Freedom was the name of the game. I couldn't really wait till I got away. The Mariner James, who edited the first copy of The Modern Prodigal, had it in, I threw restraint to the wind. I was lured by the lights. I was lured by the freedom and of just getting away to spread my wings and do my own thing, as we say. There was a man had been over in Manchester, and he came over back home, and he told me, he says, you know, you can, if you get a bus driving job, they're mad looking for bus drivers and bus conductors, you can earn £20 a week. My father was giving men £10 a week, and I thought it was a lot of money. And these things lured me, just like the prodigal was lured. Away from my mother, away from my praying uncle, away from my praying sister, away to the nightclubs, away to the bars and the shebeens and all that went on in that godless city and that hellhole of a place. I couldn't have been more spiritually damned, doomed, and dark, full of pride, full of self-will, full of rebellion, hungry, cold, wet and weary often, took the wristed watch off my hand and sold it to get something to eat. Do you think if somebody would have come to me that night on that Cheetham Hill street of Manchester that winter's night when I was hungry, do you think if somebody would say to me, do you want to go to heaven? I would have said, I'll go anywhere. Well, just pray the wee sinner's prayer. Do you think I'd have been saved? No, sir. Do you think when I returned home to my mother's house in Fermanagh, with my shoes leaking water, clouted and clustered in rags, coming to my mother's house to bail me out, do you think if I'd have prayed the wee sinner's prayer that I'd have been saved? No, sir. No, sir, because the Holy Ghost wasn't working in my life. There wasn't one bit of conviction. There wasn't one bit of fear of God. There wasn't one bit of hatred for sin. Oh, I was sorry for the way things went. I was sorry. I had no job. I had no home. I had no clothes. I had no money. Oh, I was sorry. And I did cry. But I went back to England. And I came back the second time worse than the first time. And it was 2 years and 4 months after I came the first time that I came to Christ. You see, I hadn't come to the swine trough. I hadn't come to the husks. The famine hadn't hit me in the way that it should hit me. I was still on my way down. When I got a few pounds, I was still drinking, I was still gambling, I was still cursing, I was still oathing. And that Sunday night that Pat and I went down to Bundoran to the Holyrood Hotel and to go to the Astoria Ballroom, there wasn't one thought of God in my life. The Holy Spirit may have been working, and indeed he was working behind the scene, but there wasn't one thought of God in my life. If I had prayed a wee sinner's prayer on my way down that night, do you think I'd have been saved? No, there was no conviction. There was no repentance. I knew nothing of the Word of God. I knew nothing of the gospel. I went to the meeting, and Pat come under conviction. I didn't. And came home, and then about the 1 o'clock in the morning, the blessed, gracious Holy Spirit began to deal with this life of mine. And I'll tell you about that next week, God willing. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.